Imam Hussein and the ideals of the Ahlul Bayt. Second announcement. The Saba Health Center, which is located in the Saba Library next door, will be opened the first Sunday and the third Thursday of each month. And it's actually going to be open tomorrow from 7 to 9, so that's the third Thursday. Sundays, it'll be 11 to 1 during Sunday school. Thursdays, 7 to 9 during the program. There's free medical consultation and health education. There's doctors with heart specialty, women's health specialty, primary care, children's specialty, and pain management. There's also translators in Farsi, Arabic, and Urdu, and people speak English, too. You can sign up on the door. And if you have any questions, talk to Sister Asya Zaghami or email healthcenter@saba-igc.org. So remember tomorrow, 7 to 9, inshallah. Yes. So we also have Abbas Sheikh who's going to recite poetry tonight. And also, Dr. Mazhar Khan is going to do some Nohe tonight. So, inshallah, we'll have everything tonight. But first, we'd like to start with Quran. Who would like to read Quran? Anybody interested in reading Quran? Is there any sisters who would like to recite some poetry or something about Imam Hussein or anybody else related to Karbala? Who would like to recite Quran? You can recite. What is your name, brother? Sabi. MashaAllah. Sabi is interested. Just getting motivated. In the process of getting motivated. Not interested? Maybe tomorrow? InshaAllah. Who would like to recite Quran? Ali Abu Qaeda? There is always one of you. And today I'm going to ask all of you to move up. No cell phones, no texting. Move up to the front, inshallah. Ya Allah. Is that a texting device there? Would you like to read Quran as a... You did yesterday. In fact, you read Surat al-Shams. I remember. Everyone reads Surat al-Shams. Who would like to read Quran? I'm looking at everyone here, inshallah. Say it. Very busy. The youth. I'm very busy. You can imagine it. Okay, let's say a loud salawat for the person reading Quran. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. You get a lot of sabab. Okay. Sayyid, thank you very much. Allahumma salli ala
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل يا أيها الكافرون لا أعبد ما تعبدون ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد ولا أنا عابد ما عبدتم ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد لكم دينكم ولي دين صدق الله العلي العظيم صلوا على محمد وآل محمد
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
Thank you very much. Surat Al-Kafirun. In the name of Allah, the All-Beneficent, the All-Merciful, say, O faithless ones, I do not worship what you worship, nor do you worship what I worship. Nor will I worship what you have worshipped, nor will you worship what I have worshipped, or what I worship. To you, your religion, and to me, my religion. Para Muhammad wa ala Muhammad salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Just to remind you that this is the recommended English translation, Ali Quli Qara'i. It's available outside, actually, in our bookstore. So they do have copies, so you might want to get one. It's a more easier translation for the English speakers of us. So today we have Brother Abbas Sheikh, mashallah, who's interested in reading some poetry. So this is a great opportunity for us, so please say a loud salawat for him too. Another loud salawat, please. Let all the other halls hear your salawat. So I just prepared like a short salam to go before Jumajah today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I do start, I begin, I recite for Allah. May He watch over all gathered here for Mawla. O Hussein, Ya Imam, to you I send my salam. Imam Ali ibn al-Hussein, to you I send my salam. To the children, thirsty ones, on the plains of Karbala, to their mothers who watched you die, to them I give my salam. Fearless fighters, freedom fighters, righteous men, to you salam. Through toil and trouble, you all stood fast to protect the deen of our imam. Sakina Jan, what was your fault for what they did? None at all. To your soul, laden with grief and pain, I send my salam. All that you, Ya Hussein, did that day, in thirst and in pain, in Allah's way, for Islam, for Tawheed, for humanity, we commemorate every year in gatherings like these. I can only try to understand what you thought, what you felt as you reached that land. It was clear from the start what you had to do. The scorching plains of Karbala, they needed you. I have heard many times that Bibi Zainab saw. All alone, Imam Hussein gave a desperate call. Hal min nasirin yansuruna, hal min mughithin yughithuna. Ya Mawlai, for you 1,000 times. For you, Mawlai, I live. For you, Mawlai, I die. On the 10th, you gave the call. You gave the call for aid. Look at your Shias now, gathered here for you today. Your mission was to give your sacrifice, to die for Islam, so that the truth may arise. Now what do we, O Shias, have to do in return? We must prepare the world for Al-Mahdi's return. As we gather on today, please keep this in mind. Move forward to peace and progress, leave injustices behind. Let this majlis be a sign, a beacon of light to illuminate our hearts and light up our minds. Expand your mind, extend it far, and let us be aware of our brethren's plight, for we ourselves cannot be there. Day after day, under air strikes and fire, Gaza Strip is housing the bodies of Muslim children from broken windows or blood drips. Countless dead, a massacre, such brutal, foul war crimes. Air strikes daily, open fire, time after time. Let this remind us of a similar scene where Hussein was killed. What could he do? A similar tactic his enemies used, thousands of them against 72. Ya Hussein, through your love, you let love start anew. From your words to your sacrifice, out came love, love for you. Although they killed, imprisoned all, you did not fail at any rate. From your cause, your sacrifice, emerged love for the Ahlul Bayt. Every night and every day, it can be seen what you have done. Your banner high, your message clear, Islam stays pure through your son. As I began, I will end for my Lord, Ya Allah. May He watch over all gathered here for Mawla. Salam.
And please recite a Surah Fatiha for Sheikh Muhammad Yasin and Dersad Begum with another loud salawat.
Ahsan, that was very nice. MashaAllah. Also for us always to remember that's real life examples of the goals and struggles of Imam Hussein today, present day Palestine, Gaza, West Bank, other places, Lebanon, all over the world. Inshallah, always have to remember that Muslims, particularly youth, we're a youth group, and it's the Brother Abbas Sheikh mentioned, particularly the youth, which is pretty poignant for us to think about. Make dua for, always remember them, do whatever you can to help the causes, inshallah, in any way. And then let's again welcome Hajjatul Islam al Muslimin al Mahdi. He's going to give us, inshallah, a very nice talk tonight about love and Islam, some practical points for all of us, particularly the youth. Inshallah, youth, let's pay attention. You got your cups ready to pay attention to the front, inshallah, so we can gain from this great lecture. So with the loud salawat, let's recommend the Hajjatul to come up. Thank you.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الذي لا يبلغ مدحته الفاعلون ولا يحصينا ماءه الآتون ولا يؤدي حقه المجتهدون الذي لا يدركه بعد الحمام ولا يناله غوث الفتن الذي ليس لصفته حد محدود ولا نات موجود ولا وقت معدود ولا أجل ممدود فترى الخلائق بقدرته ونشر الرياح برحمته اللهم أف صلة صلواتك وسلامة تسليماتك على أول التعينات المفازة من الأماء الرباني وآخر التنزلات المزاقة إلى نوء الإنساني كان الله ولم يكن معه شيء ثاني محصي لعوالم حضرات الخامس لوجوده وكل شيء أحصيناه في إمام المبين الرسول النبي المكي القرشي التحامي صاحب لواء الحمد ومقام المحمود عبد القاسم محمد بن الحميد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى أخيه وابن عمه وسهره وخليفته من بعده قائد الغر المحجلين يا شب الدين إمام المتقين أمير المؤمنين علي بن أبي طالب الله وعلى ابنته الطاهرة الحوراء العنسية الرازية المرضية الشفية يوم الجزاء فاطمة الزهراء سلام الله عليها وعلى ستي رحمة وسيدي شباب أهل الجنة الحسن والحسين اللهم صل على أئمة علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد وحسن بن علي وحجة القائم المنتظر المهدي اللهم صل على حججك على عبادك وأمنائك في بلادك. اللهم سهل منحجهم وأجل في فرجهم، وجعلنا من محبيهم ومواليهم وشيتهم. ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين من يومنا هذا إلى قيام يوم الدين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. I begin in the name of Allah, the All Beneficent and All Merciful. I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again for this tawfiq, and as we are commemorating, the days are passing faster than we could comprehend and imagine, and we are already half the way to the first ashra of Muharram, the first 10 days of Muharram. These days being one of the most important days for us to reflect and contemplate and look into ourselves to see that we could reform ourselves, to make ourselves embark on a journey that would transform our lives, to take that leap of faith that would truly make us the companions of Imam Hussein, or make that leap of faith with which we practice our lives such that we become truly the followers of our present Imam. And for that, it is not going to come by itself automatically. There has to be effort that needs to be put in. And if we do not educate ourselves, if we do not reflect, if we do not understand the concepts that are behind everything that we do, everything that drives us, then it will be very superficial, and you will grow out of it, and you will consider religion to be part of your culture, which is being done by a lot of Muslim youth, which is not true. Religion is not part of our culture. Culture gets involved in the domain, but truly religion in itself is the means and end for us. And if it does not contradict, if your culture does not contradict Islam, then that culture, that part of the culture, can be tolerated and even be promoted. But if it contradicts Islam, then it does not have permission to enter the bounds of Islam. So we came up with this top-down approach where we wanted to know the fundamental reason for which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created us. And we had put in our argument and backed it up with the riwayat and ayat and also the sayings, and also brought in some logical arguments from the philosophers, both Muslim and non-Muslim. The whole idea being that do we truly understand, or do we truly know what motivates us towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And if we do not know what motivates us towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that intrinsic desire, that immense desire to seek perfection, is misguided towards seeking things from the life of this world. And that's where we gave examples of cloud which comes in the way of the sun, and how the life of this world, or the glamour and the glitter of this world, makes us blind and we cannot see through it. And that is the reason we see so many people, even though they have acquired everything that they could in the life of this world, have become hopeless in their life. I was reading the news today, and they were talking that Tiger Woods declined to go to a rehabilitation center, I believe, because he is addicted to pain medication and he is addicted to sleeping drugs. Tiger Woods' self-worth is probably $630 million. His wife is seeking divorce and the custody of her children and half of his property. And one of the reasons being that Tiger Woods declined going to the rehabilitation center. So what comes to our mind is, when you have so much money, you have so much fame, why do you have to take drugs to get some night's sleep? Why do you have to take drugs to go to sleep? And if you guys remember, one of the reasons, probably the primary reason Michael Jackson died was this, him trying to get to sleep with the drug, whichever drug he used to take. So these celebrities, they have so much money. They don't have peace of mind. They cannot just go to 6 hours sleep on their own. They have to be sedated to such an extent that Michael Jackson used to take this drug which is used to, I believe, by anesthesiologists to actually, you know, knock the person down for surgery. So why is it so? I mean, these people have millions and millions of dollars. They have fame. They have everything that capitalism had promised them. And yet you feel that they are hollow and empty from inside. And they are willing to kill themselves to just go through one night of sleep. My dear brothers and sisters, if we do not contemplate and if we do not take lessons from what is around us, then we will not realize that we could also arrive into that same situation. And for those, there is a saying even in Urdu language, they say when you are making rice, you would rather only test a couple of grains of rice. You don't test a whole pot of rice to figure it out whether the rice is cooked or not. Why do we do that? Because if a part of it is cooked, pretty much, you know, all of it is cooked. So you have to take examples around you to see, you know, what is being promised by the Hollywood movies that we watch. And if we cannot watch the adult rated movies, then we watch PG-13 movies and we justify, you know, and that's one of the questions all of us are, you know, faced with. Is this halal? Is that halal? But in all these movies, all that is shown is the glamour and the glitter and how you can be filthy rich and how you can own so much stuff. But what's next? Another example of this guy who was a pioneer in after Disney, I think, in making movies, Steve Jobs. You guys know Steve Jobs, right? He lives in Palo Alto. The founder of Apple. He started a company called Pixar that had revolutionized the whole animation industry. And this guy goes through a lung transplant, and while he is still going through that, and when the media comes to know that this guy is going through a lung transplant, the next thing is everybody discussing, okay, so who is going to replace Steve Jobs? Who is going to run Apple? Who is going to run Pixar or whatever companies that he used to manage? People move forward, my dear brothers and sisters. They don't wait for you and I. Life does not wait for you and I. And the perishable and the moving nature of this world is that it's going to go away. So don't let yourself be deceived by your own self into thinking that, you know, oh, I can do good to the whole world, I want to do this. If I become a millionaire, I'm going to, you know, do this to my community, do that to my community. First think about your own self, my dear brother and sister. If we all think of our own selves, and if we can reform our own selves, then collectively we will create a community which is already reformed, which knows where it is going, and it knows its own destination and its destiny. Please recite a salawat. Just to connect my talk from yesterday, quickly I will try to skim through the stuff that we talked about. One of the verses of Quran that I had mentioned, Surah Ali Imran, verse 85, was about the religion of Islam is the only religion that is acceptable in the eyes of, in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and nothing else. Should anyone follow a religion other than Islam, this is the verse of Quran, I'm just reading the translation straight away here. Should anyone follow a religion other than Islam, it shall never be accepted from him, and he will be among the losers in the hereafter. So let us not be deceived into thinking just mere pure humanity, being nice to each other, not hurting each other, not getting into other people's privacy is enough, and you know, if we are nice people, then Allah is going to accept this and we will go to heaven. No, you have to abide by the laws that have been prescribed by Allah through His Messenger, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Then we also referred another verse from Surah Ma'idah, verse 54. I would quote the translation again over here. O you who have faith, should any of you desert his religion, any of you forsake his religion, Allah will soon bring a people whom He loves, whom Allah loves, and who love Him. And these are the people who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who will be humble towards the faithful, stern towards the faithless. Please say a salawat. Then, also another verse that I wanted to mention, I think I might have, no, I don't think I mentioned it yesterday. In this verse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. Among the people are those who set up compeers, who set up equivalents besides Allah, and then what they do? Loving them as if loving Allah. But the faithful have a more ardent or intense love for Allah. Here also the verse of Quran is very clear in its context that it's mentioning. There is no obscurity here. There is no, obscurity to the sense that we would derive other meaning. It is very clear, plain. Among the people are those who set up equals to Allah. And they, what do? They love those people as if they love Allah. So if we love something as if we love Allah, then we would be part of those people that Quran is mentioning here, my dear brothers and sisters. So what are these verses referring to? These verses are telling us that those who believe, they are ardent and they are intense. Love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is nothing that can come between them and their creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if there is anything that comes in between Allah and His creation, that means you are doing shirk. You are loving somebody or something besides Allah. So if there is anything that is loved independent of Allah, then it is as if it is against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are putting somebody against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas if it descends from Allah, then it's a totally different story. If you love them, it is as if you love Allah. إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِ. O Prophet, tell these people, if they love Allah, then they should follow you. Now, if you follow the Prophet of Allah, if you love the Prophet of Allah, it is as if you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because now it is, trickling down from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to understand, we have to contemplate, and we have to use it practically in our lives. When we have something that is in our hand, whether it's a relationship or it's a thing, we should know whether this is causing us to deflect from the obedience of the Prophet of Allah, meaning that we stop loving Allah and we become enemies of Allah. If we do not pray because we have a friend whom we are giving company. Okay? We used to pray, but it's a friend, you know, I just cannot say no to him because he's so nice to me. He had been through very rough times in my life and the time of Salat is going away and you do not have enough courage to tell him, you know, why don't you wait for a couple of minutes, let me finish my Salat. Then that means you are putting him against Allah, my dear brothers. If you have a relationship which wants you to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it says, you know, whoever that might be, even your parents cannot force you to go against the commandments of Allah, especially for wajibat. You can ask Marana Abidi about it. Neither a wife has to be obedient in disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if her husband is ordering. Except for that, everything a wife should obey, but if the husband forces his wife to disobey Allah, she is not allowed to obey him. That is as if you are keeping somebody against Allah. Please recite salawat. So the love of this world, the things that we possess in this world, if they become hurdles, if they become obstructions in our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we will turn into loving those things as if loving Allah. And then our, you know, destiny would not be something that we would like, which would be the fire of hell. Now how does it again trickles down? Yesterday I was also mentioning a dua of the Prophet of Allah that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself to give us that tawfiq to know him. Allahumma arrifni nafsak. O Allah, you make yourself known to me. If you do not make yourself known to me, then I would not be able to know your Prophet. O Allah, make your Prophet known to me. Have the ma'rifah of the Prophet. And if I do not have the ma'rifah of your Prophet, then I would not have the ma'rifah of his wali, or your wali, O Allah, who is the decisive proof on this earth, who is the hujjah on this earth. And if I do not know your hujjah or your decisive proof on this earth, then I have already disbanded, or I have already, you know, left my religion. I'm lost. I'm completely lost. So we have to know this order, my dear brother and sister. Please try to salawat. So a question that comes to mind is sometimes, you know, we are on either extremes. Nobody should come to a conclusion that since I'm saying this, all of us should sit in our homes and just think of Allah and meditate, or just, you know, sit at home and think, oh, I love Allah. This is not the case. Even the verse is very clear about it. If you love Allah, then you have to follow the Prophet of Allah. But just to make my point more clear, I have another riwayah which I would like to quote here from the Prophet of Allah. Please recite salawat. Hearts are of three types. Al-qalbu shalashatu anwa'in. Qalbun mashghulun bid-dunya. Hearts are of three categories. There is a heart which is always engaged in this world. Qalbun mashghulun bid-dunya. Wa qalbun mashghulun bil-ukhba. The second one is a heart which is always engaged in the hereafter. It is the heart of an abid. It is a heart of an abid who is always praying, who does not think about this world at all. And then the third category, the Prophet of Allah says, قَلْبٌ مَشْغُولٌ بِالْمَوْلَى. There is another heart which is completely engaged for his master, his Mawla. And then the Prophet of Allah says, أَمَّا الْقَلْبُ مَشْغُولٌ بِالدُّنْيَا فَلَهُ شِدَّةُ وَالْبَلَى. Those hearts that are completely engaged in this world, for them is hardships that come with this world. أما قلب المشغول بالأخبى فله دار الدرجات العليا. For those hearts that are engaged always in the hereafter, they have stations, higher stations in hereafter. But see how we are talking about love and how we have to, you know, direct our heart towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's where I'm trying to get to. Finally, the Prophet of Allah says, أَمَّا قَلْبُ الْمَشْغُولُ بِالْمَوْلَى. Those hearts that are engaged in communication with their master, they are always engaged, their attention is towards their Mawla, their master. فَلَهُ الدُّنْيَا وَالْأُخْبَى وَالْمَوْلَى. For them they have the life of this world, for them they have the life in the hereafter, and they also have their master. Please recite a salawat. So this is the beauty of engaging and being attentive towards our Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. If we have that awareness that is built in us, to know that our Creator is watching us every moment that we take our breath, then it is completely going to transform our life, how we study, how we interact, how we socialize, how we exchange, how we make deals, how we make compromises. In every aspect of our life, it will have an intense impact. Because you will know that your master is looking at you, and you will ensure that you would not do anything that would be a means of disobeying your master. It's very important, my dear brothers and sisters. Please share a salawat. So this verse of Holy Quran, which is talking about إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي, has many benefits and blessings along with it. Because here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, if you love Allah, then follow me. Tell, O Prophet of Allah, to these people that if you love Allah, then follow Rasulullah, then follow the Prophet of Allah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not say just follow. Allah is also motivating us. Allah is also inspiring us. Allah is also giving us an incentive for us to love or to follow the Prophet of Allah by saying, يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ. Allah is going to love you back. Allah is going to love them back. Not only Allah is going to love them back, but Allah is going to يَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبًا. Allah is going to forgive their sins. So this is the incentive that we have. If we truly love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that love stems following the Prophet of Allah. And if we do follow the Prophet of Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to love us back, and Allah is going to forgive our sins. Please recite a salawat. And the verse continues saying, وَاللَّهُ غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Not only that Allah is going to forgive, Allah reminds His slaves, His creation, that it is only Allah who is forgiving. If Allah does not forgive and the whole world forgives, it is not going to be enough, my dear brothers and sisters. So Allah is also mentioning that quality that Allah is all forgiving and Allah is all merciful. So this is a beautiful verse of Holy Quran. If we contemplate and if we truly practice, then there is a practical basis to it. We have to follow what the Prophet of Allah has said. And that is what encompasses being. That is what religion is all about. And then those who love Allah should follow His religion with their utmost effort. Their utmost effort should be in following what the Prophet of Allah has said. And if that means you might lose you might lose things that this world has to offer to you, then you should take those losses. You should cut those losses and yet follow the Prophet of Allah and abide by the Sharia that Islam has brought. And if we do not abide by the Sharia, then you are belittling the ordinances that have been given by Allah through His Prophet. And if those orders or those laws do not have value in front of you, that's why you trespass those laws only to seek paltry gains, you know, little gains in the life of this world. And if we do that, then we are going to be the losers. So our worship can be purified, ikhlas, our sincerity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's the ultimate goal that we have, can be achieved through worship. And I have also mentioned in the past a riwayah in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had mentioned in Hadith al-Qudsi how those who offer supererogatory prayers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would love them. They offer supererogatory prayers. Supererogatory prayers are not obligatory prayers. Obligatory prayers is something they are accountable for. But supererogatory prayers are mustahabbat. If they offer mustahabbat to such an extent that Allah starts loving them, then Allah is going to be their hearing through which they are going to hear. Allah is going to be their eyes through which they are going to see. Allah is going to be their feet through which they are going to walk. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for us. Meaning that the veils of darkness are withdrawn and we could see the reality. And when we see the reality, we know that the life of this world means nothing. One of the proofs for Isma that ulama give in Aqaid, Isma is infallibility. Infallibility is not like angels. Angels do not have a potential to commit sin. Whereas when we talk about Isma, our imams have the potential. If they want, they can. But they don't. And the ulama say the reason is that the veils of reality have been uncovered so they could see the reality. And one of the examples they give is, if you are feeling very, very thirsty, for example, and you are walking by and you find filthy water, you know, flowing from there, would anybody drink filthy water just because he's thirsty? Those who can see that the water is filled with filth and garbage, none of us are going to drink that water just to quench our thirst. I'm not talking about extreme situations of life and death, but I'm talking about in normal life. Just to give an example so that you can, you know, compare what I'm talking about. Like that, if we truly follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commands through His Prophet, here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, I will become your hearing through which you see, meaning you can see reality. And when you see reality with its own essence, especially the guna, then you are not going to commit that sin. You will see the sin in its original form, not the attractive form that all of us sinners see, which is attractive. But in essence, we would see the real form of the sin, which is so abhorring and which is so bad that we would not want to commit a sin. Please say a salawat. Then another verse of Quran, Surah An'am, verse 153. Here, the verse says, وَإِنَّ هَذَا سِرَاتِي مُسْتَقِيمًا. This indeed is my straight path. The path of Allah, the path of Prophet of Allah is indeed the straight path. And immediately the verse continues saying, فَاتَّبَعُوهُ. So follow it. This is indeed the straight path, so follow it. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلَ فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ ذَلِكُمْ وَسَّاكُمْ بِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. This indeed is my straight path, so follow it and do not follow other ways, for they will separate you from His way, the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you do not follow the straight path that the Prophet of Allah is showing us, then you will miss the boat, you will miss and you will be separated from it. This is what He enjoins upon you so that you may become God-worthy, so that you become muttaqeen. Tattaqoon here is muttaqeen, being God-worthy. So the path to Allah is the path that goes through the Prophet of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, follow it. This is the only path. There are not many paths through which you can get to one reality, like many people who feel they are very educated and civilized say, everything, it's like a circle in which everything is going to the center. That itself is another subject, but what I'm trying to say is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is explicit about Islam being the only path of deliverance, and there are many verses which point us towards it, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that my love should result in following the Prophet of Allah, and those who would follow the Prophet of Allah, I would forgive their sins, and I will, because I am the only forgiver and I am the only merciful. And here also this verse is also pointing us into the same direction. Please share the salawat. Another verse here of Surah Jasiya, verse 18 and 19. Summa ja'alnaka ala shari'atin. Then we set you upon a clear course of law. Shari'atim min al-amri fattabi'aha wa la tattabi' ahwa alladhina la ya'lamun. Then we set you upon a clear course of law, so follow it and do not follow the desires of those who do not know. See, my dear brothers and sisters, I'm talking about ittiba, of following, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has time and time again mentioned that the course of law has been established and we have to follow the course of law, and we should not follow the whims and desires of those who do not know. So our means of deliverance is only through the Sharia, through the religion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent through His beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And the next verse following in the same surah says, إِنَّهُمْ لَن تَغْنُوا عَنْكَ مِنَ اللَّهِ شَيْئًا وَإِنَّ الظَّالِمِينَ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ وَاللَّهُ وَلِيُّ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Indeed, they will not avail you in any way against Allah. Indeed, the wrongdoers are allies of one another. By Allah, But Allah is the guardian of God warring. These two verses are very important, my dear brothers and sisters, which is telling us that those even who follow against Allah cannot do anything. And then Allah is also mentioning that those who oppress or those who are wrongdoers, those who are zalimeen, they are allies and friends of each other. They are not friends of mu'mineen, my dear brothers and sisters. These are the explicit verses of Holy Quran that we are discussing here. If somebody is an oppressor, if somebody is a wrongdoer, if somebody is a sinner, if somebody commits sin, then sinners are friends of sinners. Oppressors are friends of oppressors. It is not possible that oppressors and oppressed both can be friends. Then, you know, it is not possible at all. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that those are allies of each other. The wrongdoers are allies of each other. But Allah is our ally. Allah is the wali of muttaqeen. Allah is the friend of those who are God-worthy. Those who have the awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 24/7. So Allah is disassociating friendship of zalimeen from mu'mineen and then associating himself with mu'mineen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, don't worry if they are not your allies, don't worry if they are not your friends, they cannot do anything to you because Allah is your guardian, Allah is your wali, Allah is your friend. And if someone's friend is Allah, who can come against him and who can go against him? They cannot, my dear brothers and sisters. And history is witness to this. Please recite the salawat. So now here, one more twist or one more angle that these verses have is this verse is inviting us towards the wilaya. Wilaya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The guardianship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And following of the Prophet of Allah only if we truly possess the wilaya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we truly possess the wilaya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then only and only will follow the Prophet of Allah. And the wilaya of Allah cannot be attained by following the wrongdoers, by following the zalimeen, by being friends with zalimeen. We cannot attain the wilaya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we want to attain the guardianship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we have to follow the Prophet of Allah. And if we are following the whims and desires of those who are against Allah, those who oppress, those who are sinners, those who are wrongdoers, then we are not truly under the guardianship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we are not under the guardianship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are not going to follow His Prophet. So here, now what has happened is that we are coming to our original argument of love, my dear brothers and sisters. This wilaya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we attain, in essence, we attain it through the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِ. If you love Allah. And then here, the verse is saying, Allah is wali, Allah is guardian of those who are muttaqeen, those who are God-worthy. So, the guardianship can be attained of Allah through the love of Allah. Please say the salawat. Wilaya stems from this hub, that love we have for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will go under the guardianship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we go under the guardianship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we will be obedient and follow His Prophet. And this is our ultimate goal. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be guided and wants to meet us. There is this whole notion of liqa'ullah, encounter with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter. And that is our ultimate destiny, my dear brothers and sisters, not just merely the Jannah or the paradise. Paradise is the worth, this is a minimum worth of a mu'min. But the true worth of a mu'min is liqa, or encounter, or meeting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Please say the salawat. Surah Ali Imran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in verse 32 says, قُلْ أَتِيُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَإِن تَوَلَّوْا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْكَافِرِينَ. Say, obey Allah and the apostle of Allah. But if they turn away, indeed Allah does not like the faithless. Whom Allah likes, Allah is mentioning. And whom Allah does not like, they are also being mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, لا يحب الكافرين. If we do not obey Allah and His apostle, then we will be those whom Allah does not love, and we are kafirin, we are the faithless. So let us ponder, my dear brothers and sisters, and contemplate and think on the path that we are going. Another verse of Quran, Surah Anfal, أَتِيُوا اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَهُ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. Follow Allah and His Prophet if you are truly faithful, if you are truly mu'min, if you truly possess iman, then follow Allah and His Prophet. These are all explicit verses of Holy Quran which are directing us towards the love of Allah to be the fundamental motivator that gets us into the wilaya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then from the wilaya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we would love and follow His Prophet. And when we love and follow His Prophet, then we are truly mu'mineen. And if we do not, then we are not. And the chain is slowly descending. The last verse that I am going to mention here, I would discuss more in detail tomorrow. But just to keep the continuity going, I will mention the verse of Surah Maidah, verse 55. إِنَّمَا وَلِيُكُمُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ وَهُمْ رَاكِعُونَ. صلوات. Now this chain of this order is trickling down, my dear brothers and sisters. We were talking about love of Allah. We were talking about wilayat of Allah. We were talking about the guardianship of Allah. Then we talked about the love of the Prophet. We were talking about the wilayat of the Prophet. We were talking about the guardianship of the Prophet. And there is another sector, or there is another chain whom Allah is pointing in the Holy Quran, that we have to have their wilaya, their love, and their guardianship. And we have to follow them. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, your guardian, this is the translation I'm reading, your guardian is only Allah, His apostle, and the faithful who maintain the prayer and give the zakat while going down. And this ayah refers, after the guardianship of the Allah and His Prophet, refers to Amirul Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib. If we truly want to be under the wilayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this is the chain of authority that we have to follow, my dear brothers and sisters. And these examples that we learn in the history of Islam are amazing, but nothing compared to the companions of Sayyid al-Shuhada himself, my dear brothers and sisters. What type of people they were, what type of, you know, commitment they had for Islam. And like I had mentioned, those who had recently met Sayyid al-Shuhada on their way, like Zuhair Khan, you see Zuhair Khan completely transforming and changing after his meeting with Imam Hussein. Zuhair Khan is a completely different person after he meets Imam Hussein. He orders his caravan to leave and he says, now I am going to accompany the grandson of the Prophet and I know my destiny is martyrdom. And here the commitment was for righteousness, because oppressors can only be friends of oppressors. Oppressors can never be friends of those who are being oppressed. And here Zuhair Khan is associating himself with one who is being oppressed, who is the decisive proof of Allah on earth, my dear brothers and sisters. Tonight we are going to talk about another young person. We have been talking about every sector of society, persons of every sector of society. We have talked about Anu Muhammad who were entering into their teens. We have talked about companions of Imam Hussein who were very old. Now we are going to talk tonight about Ali Akbar. Ali Akbar is the son of Imam Hussein. Imam was always anxious to see Ali Akbar, because Ali Akbar was exactly not only in his looks but also in his actions resembled exactly to the Prophet of Allah, my dear brothers and sisters. And there are many occasions in which Imam Hussein mentions that if I would miss my grandfather, if I would miss the Prophet of Allah, then I would see my son Ali Akbar, who would remind him of the Prophet of Allah. Hussein was very, very attached to this son Ali Akbar. But there was a time, my dear brothers and sisters. Now you should all be aware, my dear brothers and sisters, that we are in the days of Muharram, where the Ahlul Bayt are already, the children of Ahlul Bayt are already thirsty, my dear brothers and sisters. They are calling, Al-Atash, Al-Atash, O thirst, O thirst. The thirst is killing the small children and it is weakening the elders who had been thirsty more than the children, because they were saving water for the children. Ali Akbar, it has now the turn of the Akroba, of the relatives, because all the Ashab of Imam Hussein have given their life for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and have died fighting bravely on the plains of Karbala. Now Ali Akbar approaches Imam Hussein and says, Baba, please allow me to give away my life in protecting the decisive proof of Allah, the Hujjat of Allah on earth, and fighting in the way of Islam. And how can Imam Hussein, who is so attached to this son, let him go in war, in the battlefield? How can Imam Hussein do that? But Ali Akbar is also reminded by his aunt Zainab, by his mother, that Ali Akbar on the night, the night of 10th, which is the night Muharram, all the mothers were reminding their children that, oh my sons, tomorrow there is going to be a bloody war, and the son of Zahra, the grandson of Rasulullah, is the target. Make sure that you give away your life and save the son of Zahra and save the son of Ali ibn Abi Talib. Ali Akbar approaches Imam Hussein and he says, Baba, please allow me to leave, for the battlefield. How can Imam Hussein allow Ali Akbar to leave? Ali Akbar resembles in his grandfather. Every time Hussein wants to see his grandfather, he would ask Ali Akbar to come. He would hug Ali Akbar. He would kiss Ali Akbar, because Ali Akbar resembles intensely in Rasulullah. Imam Hussein does not say, "Oh my son, I am letting you go in this battlefield," but instead Imam Hussein raises his head towards the sky and raises his arms and say, "Oh my Allah, you are witness that I am sending someone to this oppressor, a son who is exactly like my grandfather, not only in his resemblance but also in his character." And Ali Akbar knew that he has been granted permission. Ali Akbar comes into the tent because Imam Hussein says, "Ali Akbar, go and say goodbye to your aunt Sayyida Zainab, who was who was involved in raising you." Ali Akbar approaches Sayyida Zainab. Ali Akbar also goes to Umme Layla. Ali Akbar wants to leave now, but the women are around Ali Akbar. They are crying, but finally Ali Akbar leaves. Ali Akbar gets out from the tent, and Ali Akbar mounts on the horse, and the father, Imam Hussein, says goodbye, and Ali Akbar is moving slowly, and Ali Akbar realizes that Imam Hussein is following him. And Ali Akbar turns around and says, "My father, you have already granted me permission for martyrdom. Why are you coming behind me?" To which Imam Hussein says, "Oh Ali Akbar, you do not know the love of a father for his son. Had you had children, you would know, even though I want to stand, but my heart is coming away on its own. Oh Ali Akbar, go and fight in the way of Allah." Ali Akbar goes and fights a battle which the enemy is frightened, and like other mujahideen, the enemy is so frightened that Ibn Sa'd has to order and say that don't take this young man lightly, because he is the grandson of Ali ibn Abi Talib. He has been trained by Abbas, and everybody is attacking Ali Akbar from each side. A time comes when Ali Akbar feels very thirsty, and he returns back and he asks his father, Imam Hussein, "Oh Baba, is there any water left? Because the armor that I am wearing, the heat of the sun is heating the armor, which is metallic, and it is obstructing me in my fight, and I am feeling weak. Is there a drop of water, Baba? If I can have some water, then I will show these enemies of Islam the fight of Ali ibn Abi Talib." But Imam Hussein says, "Oh my son, there is not a single drop of water. Even for Ali Asghar, who is 6 months old, there is no water. And you go and fight in the way of Allah, and my grandfather will quench your thirst very soon from the fountain of Kawthar." Ali Akbar goes and Ali Akbar fights, and then Ali Akbar calls for his father and says his last salam, "Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah, Assalamu alayka ya Ibn Rasulullah." The moment Hussein hears this, he loses his eyesight. Hussein cannot see what is in front of him. Hussein tries to rush, but falls down, stands up again, mounts on his horse, and trying to find Ali Akbar. "Aina, Aina Ali Akbar? Where is my Ali Akbar?
Where is my young Ali Akbar? Hussein finally arrived at the place where the Ali Akbar is. What Hussein sees that there is a spear which has penetrated the heart of Ali Akbar. Hussein sits down and on his knees, Hussein pulls the spear from the heart of Ali Akbar, and there is a fountain of blood flowing out of Ali Akbar. Hussein does not have the power to raise this body of his young son, and he calls the children of Bani Hashim. Oh, children of Bani Hashim, Hussein does not have the strength or energy to take his son's body to the camps of Ahlul Bayt. Please come and help me. سَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ سَلَمُوا عَيْهِمُ الْحَلَقِينَ سَلَمُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Oh my Allah, please accept all our ibadat and truly make us be in the wilaya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through which stems the following of His Prophet and the wilaya of Ahlul Bayt and the wilaya of our present Imam. O Allah, hasten the reappearance of our present Imam and make us the true followers of our present Imam. Please recite the Surah Fatiha for all the marhumin. And if there is any question and answers, we will be talking.
Please all stay and participate in the Naha. Ya Hussein.
Ya Hussein.
Ya Hussein. Ya Hussein.
Ya Hussein. Ya Hussein.
Ya Hussein. Ya Hussein.
Oh Abbas. Oh Abbas. Oh Abbas. Oh Abbas.
Everybody.
Oh Abbas. Oh Abbas, oh Abbas, oh Abbas, protect the Savior and the great warrior, protect the Savior and the great warrior, the standard bearer is thy name Abbas, is thy name Abbas, is thy name Abbas, oh Abbas, oh Abbas. Oh Abbas, oh Abbas, brave son of Haydar, a noble brother, brave son of Haydar, a noble brother, hope of all his sisters, a noble brother, is thy name Abbas, is thy name Abbas, is thy name Abbas. Oh Abbas, oh Abbas, oh Abbas, oh Abbas. The will of Mustafa, the strength of Murtaza, the faith of Fatima is thy name, Abbas, is thy name, Abbas. The will of Mustafa, the strength of Murtaza, the faith of Fatima is thy name, Abbas, is thy name, Abbas, is thy name, Abbas. Oh Abbas, oh Abbas, Ali. Oh Abbas, oh Abbas, oh Abbas, oh Abbas. In the heat of Karbala, on the day of Ashura, Ali. In the heat of Karbala, on the day of Ashura, the moon of Bani Hashim is thy name, Abbas. Is thy name Abbas, is thy name Abbas. Oh Abbas, oh Abbas, oh Abbas, oh Abbas. And down he laid his life in a noble sacrifice. And down he laid his life in a noble sacrifice.
a hero undefeated, is thy name Abbas, is thy name Abbas. O Abbas, O Abbas, O Abbas, O Abbas. We offer durood, we offer salam, we offer durood, we offer salam for the great warrior who lost both his arms. We offer durood, we offer salam for the great warrior who lost both his arms. The flag bearer, the hope of Al-Haram, the flag bearer, the hope of Al-Haram, is thy name Abbas, is thy name Abbas, is thy name Abbas. Protect the savior and the great warrior, the standard bearer, the flag raiser, is thy name Abbas, is thy name Abbas, is thy name Abbas.
O Abbas, 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 O Abbas. Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Abbas, Ya Abbas, Ya Abbas, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein.
As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdillah. As-salamu alayka ya Ibn Rasulillah. السلام عليك يا فاطمة الزهراء سيدتي نساء العالمين. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك. عليكم مني جميعا سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام عليك يا غريب الغرباء. السلام عليك يا معين الضعفاء والفقراء. السلطان أبا الحسن يا علي بن موسى الرضا ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام عليك يا صاحب الزمان. السلام عليك يا شريك القرآن. السلام عليك يا ركن الإيمان والإسلام. الأمان الأمان الأمان. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.